So reading from the sixth canto, chapter 4, text 15. Chapter is entitled The Hansa Guya Prayers. Alam dagder dramer dina. Kilanam Shivam Mastuva Vakshi Haisha Varakanya Patni Tve Prati Grihayatam. As time's a little short, maybe I'll just read through the word for word. Translation. There is no need to burn these poor trees any longer. Let whatever trees still remain be happy. Indeed, you should also be happy. Now, here is a beautiful, well-qualified girl named Marissa, who was raised by the trees as their daughter. You may accept this beautiful girl as your wife. Please repeat. There is no need. So this is, if you remember, this is one of the demigods, Soma, is speaking to the Prachetas. There's no purport to this voice, to this verse, so I'll continue on. Text number 16. Sukadev Goswami continued, "My dear king, after thus pacifying the Prachetas, Soma, the king of the moon, gave them the beautiful girl, born of Pramlacha Apsara. The Prachetas all received Pramlacha's daughter, who had high, very beautiful hips, and married her according to the religious system." Text 17. In the womb of that girl, the Prachetas all begot a son named Daksha, who filled the three worlds with living entities. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Daksha was first born during the reign of Swayambhuva Manu, but because of offending Lord Shiva, he was punished by having the head of a goat substituted for his own head. Thus insulted, he had to give up that body. And in the sixth Manvantar, called the Chakshusha Manvantar, he was born of the womb of Marissa as Daksha. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes this verse, Chakshushe Tvav Antare Prapte Praksaje Kala Vidrute Ya Shashraj Praja Istha Sa Daksho Deva Koditaha. His previous body had been destroyed, but he, the same Daksha, inspired by the supreme will, created all the desired living entities in the Chakshusha Manvantara. Thus Daksha regained his previous opulence and again begot thousands and millions of children to fill the three worlds. So this is an interesting part of the Bhagavatam, related all to really, it's related to Daksha and how he populated the whole universe again. If you recall, Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadev Goswami to clarify, to recite again how the secondary creation came about. There was the primary creation and then this was the secondary creation, which relates to the filling of the universe with all sorts of different living entities. And as we've been reading, the Prachetas were doing their austerities, performing their austerities in the water. And their father had also gone off under the instruction and direction of Narad Muni to perform austerities. When they came out, the lands were filled with lots and lots of vegetation and trees. And they got angry. They got very upset. And as you heard yesterday, anger is not always the best thing unless used appropriately. So the person, if we really analyze these verses, we can see that the demigod, the moon god, Soma, was very, very clever. He was what we would call a diplomat. He, in a very, very thoughtful way, without responding with anger at what the Prachetas were doing, he pacified the Prachetas. And he did it in a very, very sweet way. He glorified them. He reminded them of their responsibilities. After all, they were kings. They were Kshatriyas. He reminded them of their responsibility. And then he made a gift of a beautiful young girl. And that seemed to pacify them. So this section really, when we read in detail, is all about, or one of the things it's about is the responsibilities of Kshatriyas, responsibilities of leaders. Let me divert slightly and place before you a dilemma. And I want you to consider this dilemma and consider how you might act. Over the last few years, there have been a number of major disasters. For a moment, I'd like you to think that there's been another major disaster, perhaps a tsunami, which had somehow hit Bombay and created much, much devastation. And there have been many, many casualties, and things have subsided and settled now. And you have a loved one, a very dear one, whether it be your spouse, perhaps one of your children, perhaps one of your companions, one of the other devotees in the ashram. And you are in the hospital. And in the hospital, there are many, many casualties. And an important operation needs to be performed on your loved one. Two doctors are ready and available. Now, one of these doctors is a very, very competent doctor. He's very, very talented, very able. And because of that, he's been taking on many, many of the surgeries. I have to think in this way because I've been at the hospital for the last few days, so I'm thinking of doctors at the moment. So he's a very, very talented doctor. And the operation is a very, very intricate operation. It will actually, should take at least an hour, hour and a half to perform this operation. Unfortunately, this doctor in his schedule only has a gap of 15 minutes. So he comes to you and says, "You have nothing to worry about. I've done many, performed many, many of these operations. I know it's a very detailed and long operation, but I only have 15 minutes, and I'm quite confident within those 15 minutes we'll be able to get the work done. So don't worry about it. I'll just do it just in a jiffy. I've done many, many operations like this. Don't worry at all." You're a little surprised because he's perhaps a bit overconfident in what he's saying. And obviously this is somebody very, very dear to you. Then a second doctor comes and says, "Well, my dear Prabhu, I understand that you're a devotee from the temple there, and I've been coming to the temple for many, many years, and I really appreciate the wonderful work that you're doing. I understand that this person's a very, very special person to you, and I can perform this operation, and I'll certainly have the time, and I'll do it. You know, I'll do my very, very best, and I can reassure you that although this is this particular operation, it's the first time that I'm doing this operation, I will really take care and I'll make sure that I do it nicely." You say, interesting. What do I do now? On one side, I have a very, very able doctor. On the other side, I have a very, very compassionate and thoughtful, almost a devotee doctor. My question to you is, which doctor would you select for the operation? How many of you would choose the first doctor? Just a show of hands. I'm just watching the doctors and what they say. How many of you would select the second doctor? How many of you would select neither? What would you do? Go to somebody else. There must be many doctors here in Mumbai, many hospitals. So it's a dilemma. Sometimes we have leaders. In this case, we have the prachetas. Which category do you think they fall into, actually? Which category do you think the prachetas fall into from what we've heard of the previous verses so far? Are they the first category or the second category? Nobody? First one, yes. Because the prachetas were really, they went out and performed austerities. They were very, very competent in their field. They were under the water for many, many years, and they were very, very able. And as soon as they came out, you know, they saw something wrong, and their first solution was a very straightforward, just destroy everything and start again. And that's a possible solution, and Kshatriyas had the right to think in that way, but they weren't very, very considerate. And the moon god Soma had to point out to them that they are leaders, and they have to consider something more. They have to consider that these are also living entities, and these living entities produce fruits for other living entities, and it's not that they should just neglect them. It's their responsibility to look after them. And it took a little bit of coaxing, and, you know, again, they were young men, again, they'd risen to the post, and they were very, very proud and able, and they just wanted to get on with it. But the moon god had a little bit more maturity. He used a bit of diplomacy. He didn't respond with anger as they had responded. He was thoughtful, and he gently, gently coaxed them, gifted them, and fully achieved what he wanted to achieve. So it's interesting, what are the responsibilities of leaders? What are the responsibilities of Kshatriyas? It's coming up to Diwali. This is the festival that we're celebrating at this moment, other than our Vaishnav, other festivals also. And naturally, Lord Ram is a person that many, many people look to. Let me ask you another question. What do you think endeared the citizens of Ayodhya to Lord Ram? What qualities did Lord Ram have that endeared them to him? Yes. He did whatever he said. That was important. Anybody else? What are the qualities? What are the natural qualities that we look to? Lord Ram or somebody else? What brings us closer to those people who look after us? He was very, very obedient to his father. Something that perhaps we have here in India today, but certainly where I'm coming from, it's much, much less so. But obedience to one's elders, that's a very important quality. What other quality, what's the natural quality? What is Lord Ram very famous for? He was very, very father-like to his subjects. He was very, very responsible. He protected his citizens. And not only was he protective towards his citizens, but he was very, very exemplary in everything he did. In fact, there's one very, very nice story that once there was one Brahmana who used to come and take darshan of Lord Ram. This was once he was enthroned after his exile. And he used to come every morning, he used to take darshan of the Lord, and then he would go home, and then he would have his breakfast, and then he would eat. And at one particular point, Lord Ram was on tour. He was visiting different parts of his kingdom. And when the Brahmana would come every morning, Lord Ram wasn't there. So he had taken a vow. He wouldn't eat anything. So this went on every day, and it was almost came to, a period of about 2 weeks, and he still hadn't said eaten anything. So naturally, news came to some of the ministers and to Lakshman. So Lakshman came up to Ram, and he said, "My dear Lord Ram, there's a Brahmana within the state, within the congregation, who has not eaten for so many days." And when Lord Ram understood his reason, he felt very, very compassionate. And it was said that within Lord Ram obviously came in the dynasty of the moon and the dynasty of Maharaj Ikshvaku. And Maharaj Ikshvaku, it said, Prabhupada tells the story that Maharaj Ikshvaku used to have a deity of Lord Ram even before he appeared. And that deity used to be worshipped from one generation to the next, all the way till Lord Ram appeared. And when Lord Ram appeared, that deity was placed inside a closet. Naturally, Lord Ram wasn't worshipping himself. So when Lord Ram came to hear about this, he took that deity and he said, "This deity can be given to this Brahmana. And in that way, his needs will be looked after." So he was very, very compassionate. On other occasions, others would come and say different things, and he would be there to fulfill their desires. So Lord Ram is naturally the most exemplary of all rulers and kings. Naturally, in the Mahabharata, we hear of King Yudhisthira, who also had a very, very similar demeanor and disposition. So in our practical case, it's important for us, what is it that we look for? We look for certain qualities in our leaders which endear them to us, and certain actions which will really bring them closer, that they're considerate, that they're there for us, that they're really provide anything that's lacking. Unfortunately, our leaders today are not able to. You know, perhaps if our son was to die or something else was to happen, they may not be able to bring our sons back to life. But they have a very, very important responsibility. The other leader spoken about in this particular verse is Daksha. And Daksha had... Sorry, excuse me. Daksha had a different sort of role. Daksha is described here that he appeared. Really, all these prayers, the Hamsaguya prayers, were recited by Daksha, and they were really prayers which were to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Daksha had another sort of attitude and mood in what he did. Daksha means expert. It means expert at one particular thing, which we really don't want to focus on today. But Daksha had, it said that because he was very, very expert in that field of procreation, he had received a benediction from the Lord that he could come back again and also continue his role of procreation. And he was very, very good in reciting wonderful prayers to the Lord. And he pleased the Lord and received a benediction. But he had a motivation behind those prayers. He had a particular desire to fulfill. And so he was almost... I mean, he said this... He was a devotee of the Lord. He said this with devotion. But he had a particular motivation. And he was almost... could be said that manipulation to get what he wanted. So sometimes, as leaders also, there will be another sort of responsibility. And that responsibility is of satisfying the Lord. But there are different moods in which devotees will satisfy the Lord. And different devotees will offer different sorts of prayers. Now, whether we are leaders or whether we're just ordinary Vaishnavas, prayers are something important in our lives. And if we look at the prayers of different Vaishnavas, different Vaishnava leaders, they really exude a different flavor, a different mood. Let me just read you one prayer, and I'd like you to just perhaps tell me what sort of mood this particular prayer has. It's another very famous personality, and perhaps some of you will be able to tell me who it is. This devotee prayed, "O best of personalities, I am not afraid, I'm not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them." Prahlad Maharaj, that's right. So Prahlad Maharaj. And what sort of mood did that exude? Compassion. What else? There's another important... confidence. Yes, confidence in the Lord's position. And also, it reflects Prahlad Maharaj's mood of wanting to save the living entities. He was, wherever he was always a preacher. In whichever time and period he came, he was always a preacher. This is another prayer by a queen. And perhaps you can tell me what sort of mood this exudes. "O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without any hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else." That's right, Queen Kunti. So she had that wonderful mood, and that was a mood of surrender, nothing else. In fact, Queen Kunti's prayers are very, very famous. The other famous one that I have here, "My respectful obeisance unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with the depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses." Kunti, that's right. And it's a mood of glorifying the Lord. So, leaders have a responsibility not only to their citizens, but, you know, true leaders have a responsibility to serve the Lord. And in that way, the Lord empowers them to serve appropriately, to serve nicely, and to develop a character, the right sort of character, to be able to help the citizens come closer to their true destination. Let me read you one more, and you can tell me who this is. This is another personality with responsibility. "My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causally mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offerings, misdeeds, and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim." Nobody from here? Anybody from there? Lord Brahma, very good. So, prayers are important meditations. Be leaders or no leaders. In one sense, we all have a responsibility of leadership to some extent in our lives, whether we're leaders of citizens or we're leaders for our children or our congregation, or we're what are often called servant leaders. I was just speaking to somebody a couple of days ago, and they were describing Krishna's quality with Arjuna. And nowadays in many management talks, and I'm sure some of the devotees here are giving talks about servant leaders, and Krishna played that perfect role in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, being a servant leader. Unfortunately, my time is short, and I must be ending. I came across something really interesting very recently, and I wanted to share that with you. And again, I'm looking for some participation from my audience today. On the theme of prayers, these are two prayers, and it's very important to, again, well, let me say that afterwards. Let me read you the prayers, and I want you to see if you can tell me who you think said this prayer. Let me read this one first. This is a prayer which is perhaps not so well known, so I think it might be a stretch for some of you, even the erudite scholars here. Here is being worshipped, my adorable highest entity. That means God in a different form than that of mine. Due to my practice of a different kind, I cannot thoroughly comprehend the system of theirs. But seeing it, I am feeling a greater attachment for my own system. I bow down with prostration before his emblem as I see here, and I offer my prayer to my Lord who has adopted this different emblem, that he may increase my love towards him. Okay, well, the scholars here do know. Okay, well, let me see if you know this one. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very nice because he had a very, very broad vision. He could relate to anybody. And he saw not their outer dress, he saw their devotion. And as Vaishnavas, it's very, very important for us to carry that spirit. Let me see if our scholars know this one. My dearest Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve to be served, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to seek for reward, except that of feeling that I do your will. Not Jesus Christ. Not Jesus Christ. Any other takers? I have to say, you weren't far off. I mean, it was one of the followers of Jesus Christ. It was the founder of the Jesuit movement, Saint Ignatius. Saint Ignatius said that. So, it's interesting that sometimes in a world of religious strife and toil and trouble, when there is a lot of question about leaders, and particularly leaders of religious movements, it's very, very prudent and important for us to be able to understand the essence of the teachings of another practitioner in their faith to the Lord. And in the spirit of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we should also be very, very careful in terms of how we approach and what we see, and really offer ourselves fully to the Lord and make sure that we offer our respects to Vaishnavas, no matter what color, dress, garb they may be wearing. Thank you very much. Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gopinath. I'm sorry, no time for class today. I have to rush to the airport. Hare Krishna. Oh, actually, we can have one question if you like. One question from anybody. There are. Shilpa Bhakti Jaya.